Hey everyone, welcome to episode 179 of The Center Ring. Before we get to it, let me tell you about our friends at Philly Esports. They're a tournament organizer based out of Philadelphia. Bet you never guessed that. That organizes pop-up style esports events. Each event, they provide opportunities for gamers to play in professionally ran tournaments for cash prizes and help build their personal competitive brand with professional photography and interviews. As an organization, they empower competitive gamers to pursue their dreams in the industry of esports. That also includes volunteering. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, wondering, gee, how do I get into the esports world? Perfect chance to volunteer and put it on your resume. Philly Esports, their next event will be Saturday, October 26th, 2019 at Drexel University in Philadelphia. To find out more, you could follow Philly Esports on Twitter, at Philly Esports, as the same on Instagram, and also check out their website, phillyesports.net.
Hey everyone, this is Semler, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. The date, well, first, the episode, I should say, is 179, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 2nd, 2019. The time, 9:03 p.m. Central Time. This will be the best episode ever. We will end with e-news, as always, our daily segment where we just get to stories that we don't have time to. Going to talk about why sponsors hate esports. Apparently, they just don't want to get in because they're scared. And we're going to be the only podcast brave enough to answer the question, CSGO versus Overwatch. The communities, they hate each other. It's a rivalry, a fierce rivalry. And we're going to discuss that. We're also going to just talk a broad CSGO segment since we didn't get a chance to talk about ESL 1 New York last week. Or last episode, I should say. It was really only like 2 days ago. Before we do that, be sure and follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. If you are a listener and you don't follow us on Twitter, you're truly not a listener. So please go and do that if you have one. If you don't have one, no pressure. We still love you. If you listen on iTunes, go ahead and leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. We appreciate it. Or any other service that you listen to, if they let you leave a comment, you can also do that. Join our Discord. Our website, tcr.gg, has all the links there. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. And alongside me, as always, you guessed it, it's Anuj. What's up, buddy?
Ready for punches to be thrown today.
Oh. I don't think the esports world is ready for this discussion.
I don't even know.
If only... I wish we didn't have to... This is a cross we have to bear, though. It's really... The CSGO versus Overwatch segment. It's just... No one else is brave enough to really talk about it. But that's why we're here. That is why we're here. That's really it. Let's get into the show here. Before I do that, though, real quick baby update. Some listeners were asking via Twitter on a baby update. 3 weeks old. It's been 3 weeks. It feels like 3 years. I would like to first apologize to Pasha, formerly of Virtus Pro, Pasha Biceps, because when they started sucking, I think I was on this show being like, geez, what the hell is wrong with Pasha? I don't know what could possibly be wrong with him. This was also right around when he had his kid. And like I always stupidly said, well, I don't, he just had a kid, so maybe that's what it is. Well, I can confirm from sources, a.k.a. me, that's definitely what it was.
Just
like
lack of sleep,
like
energy a little bit.
There is no way you could be a pro gamer and have a child. You can't even be a casual gamer and have a child. I was just telling a nude before we went live, like, I get maybe 2 hours a week to just solidly play video games, and I waste it by being in our stupid Overwatch Tranquility community matches, which are just a joke. It's such a waste of time.
And you got it easier than most, because you have a lot of time off to actually, like, be there and do things.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and like I said, even before, like, I was like, dude, I get four months off from my normal job, which in the States is, like, unheard of, right? And I was
really unheard. I get 1 week, just to give an example.
Yeah. And I get 4 months. And I was like, it'll be so easy. Like, the kid will sleep. I'll play games. Like, Anuj, go ahead and play WoW Classic, you chump. I'll catch up. I will do laps around your character. Don't you worry.
I'll carry you.
Yeah. All right. Right. Doesn't matter. Like, Overwatch Grandmaster, no problem. CSGO Global Elite, easy. Done. In the book. None of that is true. I think I've gotten, like, one level on WoW since he's been here. Like
level 14 still or something.
Like, they don't sleep. Babies don't sleep. That is a lie. People have been lying to you your entire life. Like, he is worth every second of it. I will be the sappy, cliche parent. But as a father, Anuj, don't do it. Don't do it. Enjoy what time you have now. Because when you finally have a child, you will know. You will know what it's like.
Well, I don't think we'll be too far behind.
Yeah. So I mean, just be a crappy dad, I guess. You could just be that husband that
bro gamer dad.
Right. That just, you know.
Oh, I'll find a way to play. It's my outlet. I'll have to find a way.
Yeah. It's an adventure. It's just finding time to play is an adventure of its own. So
I got the podcast today. We're doing 4 shows a week.
All of a sudden, you'll see Anuj's office door be a solid door with no windows in it behind him. It's
just like there's a blanket on it.
Hey, babe, I
got to
get a solid door. I can't have windows on my office door anymore, and I also need it locked. I need a lock on it. Like, don't worry about it. You don't need to see what I'm doing. It's a business. That's okay, because last night, Anuj and I played Apex Season 3, even though I said I wasn't going to. I did. Not that bad. The new map is fun. But
it looks great.
We do always have the excuse of being like, hey, Anuj is on, babe, and he wants to talk about the podcast. And then we just have a business meeting while playing Apex. Which
just
we
make
did
sure to talk something. Yeah, we did.
We did talk about the podcast. Like, we didn't lie. It wasn't a complete fabrication. We just, you know, we did it in between call-outs. So, you know, it works. It works. It's the whole reason why you get into sports media in the first place, right? Like, geez, I just want to watch every single hockey game. How do I do that? Oh, I know. I'll go into sports radio where I have to watch every game. It's great.
Now also, our next excuse will be finding a way to play the new cash that's coming out in hopefully a week or two.
That's right. Can't wait. Yeah, a lot of stuff happening with CSGO, which we can kind of just do a general discussion of it. So, of course, last episode, we wanted to just kind of dedicate to our trip to Philadelphia and Overwatch League and just kind of put that to bed for the 2019 season. So we didn't really want to, just didn't have time to talk about the ESL 1 New York. Also, we just didn't really have time to watch it, obviously, being that we were at the finals. So let's just kind of do a general CSGO discussion, if you don't mind that, Anuj. Because there were some juicy storylines that came out of that. And then also with DreamHack Masters Malmo going on right now, kind of that all tie into it.
Go
ahead.
Well, we'll just dive into the little recap of New York. So yeah. Coming out of New York, obviously, if you didn't hear or missed it, Evil Geniuses ended up coming out on top, beating Astralis in the finals. Took it pretty handily. So, like, I did get, you know, another reason for doing the show on Wednesday. Gave me some time to go back and at least watch a couple of the VODs because I wanted to see. You know, I heard they were fairly dominant, and I keep hearing all this stuff about Breezy, who ended up with the MVP. Went back and watched some of the VODs, and I mean, they played really well throughout the tournament. They dropped one map, it turns out, against Astralis only in the finals. Other than that, they had a clean sweep across the board from group play all the way into the finals. And just to give you an idea of who was in the playoffs, you know, you had Liquid and G2 Advance. along with Evil Geniuses and Astralis. Again, Evil Geniuses is the old NRG. Want to talk about the losers for a second, like the ones that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
almost.
This happened 3 days ago in Nuge. This might as well have been 3 years ago in esports. So you can talk about what any order you want.
I think the most surprising outcome here was just the disappointment with FaZe's early start. It's early. I get it. Like, they had just signed Coldzera 30 seconds, I think, before the first match started.
I love him so much.
At the same time, we were all fairly aware at this point that Cold had been practicing with the team for a long time. It's not like they just signed him and all of a sudden it's the first game with him. I mean, him and Nico have a dating relationship going on Instagram, you know, previously.
Look, it is early. But with a roster like that, you would expect, I mean, just skill alone to carry you above E-United and Optic.
Well, no, granted, they played Optic, Astralis, and Evil Geniuses. That was the group they were in. So it was going to be tough versus EG, and it was going to be tough versus Astralis. Those were probably going to be likely losses. I think getting smacked the way they did against Optic was probably the rough one to take in. Granted, Optic is almost playing for their lives in the sense that they're about to be orgless, or at least that's what we've kept hearing for a while. But
yeah, I don't know what's happening with that. Like, we thought for sure that was going to be like right around the corner. Because
yeah, I wonder if they're giving them time. I mean, I know they said they were. I mean, I thought they announced that they were going to part ways with their CSGO roster.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a matter of like contracts coming to an end. You know, there's probably some sort of obligation there, but
they're just waiting to announce LA Optics, and then they'll separate.
Waiting for COD to start. But yeah, FaZe coming out looking disappointing. You know, again, we'll have to give them a little bit of time, but. Again, I was just hoping for a better performance there because they had been playing with some of these players for the last few weeks now and kind of had a time to get together. And like you said, they have two of the best players in the world on this team. You find a way to squeak by somewhere, right? Even Olaf, you know, still a legendary player. Somebody who's a veteran should be making the right plays. They just make too many mistakes still. Ents, kind of the same thing. I mean, Ents had a Sunny as the new addition, and then everybody wanted to see how they would do. Sunny actually, you know, fit in fairly well. I thought they should have advanced in that group. I thought it would have been tougher for G2, who just lost Shox here recently. You know, picking up Kiyoshima. I think Lucky is about to be benched, so even he was playing, knowing that I don't think he has a roster spot much longer. But G2 was able to advance, you know, and it's getting knocked out there. Surprise? Well, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I don't think it's much of a surprise. Just they had a pretty good opportunity to advance.
For Ents?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like they're kind of struggling, though, because even for, like, at Malmo right now, they've already been eliminated, and they hadn't looked too hot there. And I even know, like, Alu tweeted out kind of like a snarky tweet, right, kind of calling out people who said that they're struggling or they're no longer good. And I don't know. Ents is one of those weird teams. Like, they peaked at they realistically peaked at one major. And kind of rode that way for a long time now.
They had a lot of good follow-up tournaments post-major. They've just been slumping for like the last, I don't know, 5-6 tournaments. It feels like they've just been in a rut. And obviously that's why they made the change. So we'll still have to see how it plays out. But yeah, to be eliminated the way they were here
I
in New
don't
York.
I just like
now
if they are...
Malmo.
Right. Like, they just don't seem like the type of org or the team... I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, we need time to figure out, are you going to be a org that peaked at the major and had a few good runs after that? Or are you going to be an org that sticks around and stays the test of time, like FaZe, for example? FaZe would be a perfect example where, even though, like, they're always in the discussion of being a top team, like, at any tournament, they could have that one run into them, right? And people would be like, ah, this is finally the phase that we've always seen.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ents is that team or if we're just still always shocked that they're beating some of the teams that they compete against.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredibly true. You don't know what to expect with them. You're not always shocked when they lose, but at the same time, they've played well enough at times where you're like, okay, yeah, like I could see them advancing and making it to the semis. In this tournament, I thought they should have advanced. I mean, the group was set up, I think, for them to do well, so...
Fun fact, too. They are the only team. I mean, there's only four teams that didn't advance in this tournament. New York is a very small event, but they actually had a positive map ratio and still were eliminated. So that does kind of speak volumes to like kind of what you're
dominating
saying.
Dominating like, in your one win, basically.
Right, exactly. Like they probably should have advanced. G2 advanced with a minus 13 map
ratio. Well, yeah, they lost two best out of threes to G2. They had two opportunities against them. They got swept in 1-2-0. And then in the eliminator game, they were eliminated 2-1. So they had two chances. They played four matches against them and you know, couldn't get it done. So they get knocked out. You know, another thing I'm kind of curious about looking going into the playoff stage is, you know, can Liquid rebound, right? Twist came out and said after the major, I promise you we're going to go win ESL New York.
Wah, wah.
They kind of thought it was a fluke that they got knocked out, obviously, in the major two Astralis. Like, they caught him at a hot time. And here it is again. You know, Astralis comes out, beats him 2-1 in a BO3. And you start to kind of feel the momentum swinging back. You know, obviously, Astralis won the major, so you would say the momentum is on their side. But we didn't know if that was like a one-off, hey, they're back for this tournament, and then they'll slip a little bit, or Liquid will go back to their dominating performances like they have. But now you're kind of starting to feel it the other way. Like, I'm a little nervous for Liquid's number one spot. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to hang on to it for much longer.
Well, you know, they lost 16-9 to Optic at Malmo, too, just the other day, yesterday. Yeah. They lost to him on Overpass. So even then, now they're already fighting for their life in the lower bracket there. I don't, like, it sucks because I think, I'm going to say this and it sucks. And maybe I'm being rash. But I don't think you can say Liquid had an era. Luminosity, MIBR, SK Gaming, like just look at that Brazilian squad. They had an era. NiP had an era. Fnatic had an era.
Astralis had an era.
Astralis has a generation. Astralis has a generation. Liquid had a hot streak.
Yeah.
Like, and it was one of
the best streaks we've seen, right? In the sense of like current modern CSGO.
Oh, yeah.
One of the better runs. I mean, they did win the Intel Grand Slam, which required them to win. And they did it in such a short period, like 60 days-ish. They pulled off the Grand Slam. So it was like an incredible run. But if you don't top it off with a major somewhere in there, it's really tough to say that's an era. Like, you don't look back and say, yeah, the Utah Jazz had an era. The Buffalo Bills had an era. Like, no, they were like good teams, but they never closed the deal, you know? And yeah. So,
cause what the Bills went to
four
yeah. Super Bowls in a row, never won any of them. And somehow getting runner up in the NFL 4 years in a row makes you a laughing stock. Like,
yeah.
But in reality, it's like, but we went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row. Yeah, well, you suck. You might as well never made the playoffs.
Well, Liquid hasn't even been making the finals of majors. So,
right.
You know, that's
even looks worse on their part.
Yeah. So, no, I agree. I don't think they had an era. I think they had a really good run. One of the best runs we've seen in that short period of time. But if they weren't going to win a major, they need to consistently win tournaments for a much longer period of time. They keep getting knocked out to Astralis and back-to-back tournaments. And then now, you know, again, like you said, fighting for their lives this week. On the flip side, I feel pretty confident in saying I think Astralis is not going anywhere. They were played really well. They had a tough time against Evil Geniuses, but I also think, you know, in this particular tournament for New York, Breezy had one of the best tournaments you could have individually. I mean, he had posted a 1.29 rating. He had like 85 ADR for the tournament. The plays that he was making, especially with that SG, I mean, are just incredible. He looked like the best player on that team throughout the whole tournament. So they had a great run. And I hope they continue to build off of it. But Astralis is proving themselves to once again just be a dominant force that isn't, you know, you just can't mess around with them. You can't be off for a game. They'll take advantage of it too easily.
For sure. And then, of course, the story of the entire tournament were Evil Geniuses, a.k.a. former NRG, like literally as of like a week ago. I think this time last week, they were still NRG. Obviously sold their roster to Evil Geniuses. Evil Geniuses did not join the Call of Duty League, so they obviously have some extra spending money as they also bought into the LCS. NRG buying into the Call of Duty League obviously is like, yo, we don't need this much. So sold their CSGO roster, easily a top five roster.
Yeah, that's called Hex's salary.
So... Yeah, I didn't think about that. They got on Hex as co-CEO. Like, damn it, we need his money here. So Evil Geniuses obviously being happy with their return on investment as they ended up winning the whole darn thing. It's funny because like the storyline was like, oh my gosh, like people were acting like it was a brand new team, right? And in reality, it was NRG. So when you think about NR, like if this was NRG's name on there, it would still be insane that they beat Astralis 3-1. And quite handedly, I mean, 16-3 on Inferno, 16-8 on Nuke. Astralis had to take it to double overtime, or just overtime. Yeah, double overtime to win on Train. I was not, like, you, I'll give you credit because you have always been high on NRG. And I never really was a believer, but after they made those few roster moves, got rid of Daps, he just asked for way too much money on liners, and they were like, look, dude, we can't afford you anymore. So they got rid of him. I am quite impressed with them. Take away the fact that they bombed out of DreamHack Malmo. They lost.
They traveled right after the event.
No, I know. You know? That's what I'm saying. Like, I saw some people on Twitter saying, like, oh, there you go. New York was a fluke. Like, no, that's called not giving an F about your DreamHack Malmo. They just got done winning New York. They were probably, guys, we just need to lose as fast as we can so we can turn around, get on a plane, and go home.
And then the other excuse people were making, like, oh, well, some of these other teams participated in New York as well. But yeah, Evil Geniuses won the tournament, guys. They were there till like the very end. You know, they were there. And then on top of that, that finals match went on forever. Oh, I mean, we toured all of Philly and watched the Overwatch League finals, and they were still playing.
Like, by so, I mean, like it was like on the subway back to our hotel, they finally ended up closing it out. We were like, what the hell? This was like a 7-hour match.
They just didn't have much time compared to some of the other teams. But yeah, Evil Geniuses has a very well-rounded roster. I mean, there's not one player on that roster that you look at as a weakness, and you know, Ethan and Tarek have the ability to frag out at any point. Breezy is showing himself as probably the best player on that team. Cirque, his opping ability and his really ability to use rifles well. Pistols, I mean, he's just such a well-rounded player. And Stanislaw is a great leader for that team because he's proven enough, you know? Like, he's been in really big tournaments with Optic. He's been on the big stage. I think he brings that additional firepower that Daps lacked. So I think this team is like has the ability to stay a consistent top five team throughout the year. And we'll just have to kind of follow along and see how they do. Again, Malmo is probably not the best test to sit here and judge how, you know, their future is going to be. But I think Malmo's turning out to be a fairly interesting tournament in itself. I mean, just to give people an update here, I don't think we'll dive into Malmo right now. We'll really get back to it next week and go over it. But right now you have Astralis and Vitality have both advanced. You have Na'Vi and NiP both advanced. And then I think you have Furia Fnatic fighting for one of the spots in the lower bracket. Right.
And then we still don't have the others. Liquid, Greyhound, Mouse, and Optic. So the Group B lower bracket is going to get hashed out tomorrow, it looks like.
And you think you'll see Liquid come out of that lower bracket there. Liquid had obviously a little bit of a rough start, dropped into the loser's bracket.
Right.
And now kind of fighting for their lives there.
It is a little crazy watching NiP without Get Right.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, it's I'm drawing a blank on the new addition's name right now. It's funny because he mentioned in one of the interviews that he was at this tournament 3 years ago watching it as a fan and rooting for NiP, and now he is at Plopsky, is who I'm thinking of. He was out there 3 years ago at this event watching it as a fan, and now he's sitting here playing on the team. And that's kind of the beauty of esports, of being able to come from the bleachers literally onto the main stage in just a matter of, you know, could be a year, 2 years, and you see
I
that.
I can tell you he doesn't have a kid. Yeah, he does not have a newborn.
He's a youngin'.
You cannot do that with a newborn. So listen up, kids. If you ever want to be a pro gamer, you need to do that now.
And the same parent company runs both DreamHack and ESL, so I'm a little surprised that scheduling-wise that couldn't have been done a little bit better. But
does it surprise you, though?
That's Counter-Strike for you. You know, one thing I do want to touch on, because I haven't been at any of these events, and then we can move off of the CSGO subject, just to give a little status update, is complexity situation. We're kind of seeing how this roster is being built out. And I feel like across the board, it's getting some fairly mixed reviews. Let me see if we can pull this up here. But they added Blamf, or Blame F, however you would want to pronounce it. But they added Blamf. I think that's a great addition. He's coming from Heroic. He's a really good player. And more of an up-and-coming player, though, right? Like, if you were going off of Jason's initial tweets when he mentioned he was going to go out there and get the best players in the world, Blamf would be considered a really good up-and-coming player. Like, he's becoming more proven. But I'm not saying, I don't think he's like top 20 this year. I don't know, maybe he will be, but if he is, he's teetering on that line. They went out and added Rush, former Cloud9 player. Again, I don't think Rush is falling into the top 20 list on anybody's, on anybody's list out there. Although, like, top 20 North American player, yeah. But even then, not top 5, not even top 10. They're keeping Shazam, Def, and OBO. OBO was an obvious keep because, again, that's a player you're trying to build a roster around and watch him grow. Shazam and Def staying on the roster are both interesting to me because
people are still saying Def is out. Like, did you hear that Alexi B declined? Jason Lake flew to Finland to try to wine and dine him, he still was like, no, dude, not happening. I don't care what type of training facility you have, not happening.
But if you're Alexi B and you see this roster that's being put together, are you like excited to leave Finland to come and join this roster immediately?
Well, no, because Jason Lake said, I promise you, we will be a tier one team. We are going to compete.
I don't think this is for a lack of effort. Okay. So that should also be really clear. I think Jason is doing more than any GM or owner out there is doing to get the best players. I really, really do believe he's doing everything he can do, but the results that we're getting from that effort don't meet the expectations that I think, he had set and now the fan base is set for what they were supposed to build. I don't see this as a top 20 roster in CSGO.
No, I think they're right where they were. Like, I honestly think Complexity maybe a smidge over, like maybe 5 spots above what they were in the world rankings, but it's still way too many unknowns for me. Like, it is still way, way, way too up in the air for the Complexity roster as far as, like, you just don't know what it's going to be like when it comes to tournament play.
I would love to see all the people that he's approached, because there are 100, I mean, there's like 50 good free agents right now. There's several lists out there. So anybody can just go Google them and you'll see the handful of free agent lists that are available across the board, international, even, US. Wardell is a player that comes to mind. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Wardell join the team. That means you would have to let go of Shazam just because they're both in the opping role. But there's still moves I'm hoping that are to be made here for them to maybe fill out the roster. I think if you get still 2 pretty good upgrades, it'll be fun to see where they're at. If this is the final state for now because he's not able to attract anybody else, I would be a little nervous as to how they're ultimately going to perform.
Yeah, and I would love to see how Evil Geniuses were able to get NRG's roster.
Like, that
an open discussion, or was that like behind closed door? And then Jason Lake just saw the headline and was like, come again? I could have done what?
That was an option. I'm sorry. think about that. For Complexity, you're right. Like, what an amazing group that would have been to pick up. Same thing for 100 Thieves. Same thing for TSM. Like, these are really big names that were trying to get into the CSKTSM, re-enter the CSGO scene, that had an opportunity at that roster and weren't able to do it. Now, am I happy Evil Geniuses, or am I upset Evil Geniuses didn't get them? No, I'm not upset at all. I think
it doesn't make a difference to me who picked up.
But they missed out on an opportunity, I guess, is all we're saying.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun. Let's get into, dare I say, the most controversial segment ever on the Center Ring. As we tackle the topic of CSGO versus Overwatch, every once in a while, the planets align where Overwatch and CSGO have huge events on the same weekend, which then just intensifies the Twitter and Reddit drama between these two communities. Like, it doesn't matter if there's a big tournament. Like, this last weekend, we had the finals and ESL New York. Okay, we didn't need those two to start the fire because it seems to be a never-ending flame between the Overwatch and CSGO community. For whatever reason, they really do not like each other.
At all.
I mean, just go to Richard Lewis's Twitter and you'll see Overwatch people flame him. You'll see Counter-Strike people flame them. And it's just a vicious cycle back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I said to Nuge, why don't we have this discussion then on our show? Which one is better, or which one in an esports world is better? And I hate to disappoint everyone, but I think Anuj agrees with me. We need both of them.
Yeah. I mean, you need both of them to succeed for a handful of reasons. The hate stems from people just wanting to be able to say they're number one, right? The games are very hard to compare because they're so different. So it always kind of boggles my mind of like, why do we compare the two games, right? CSGO is a very different type of tactical game, an individual almost base game where you're an aimer. Like, it's an aiming based game, right? Like, that's the most important thing in the game is aiming, and then you can say movement as well, right? Game sense and all that comes from playing, but you got to be a raw aimer to enjoy CSGO. Overwatch is played very differently with supports and tanks and even your DPS, like the way they're like hit scan DPS, or somebody like Reaper.
Alt economy, there's cooldowns, right? CSGO doesn't have cooldowns going.
And then the biggest difference is CSGO is a bomb defusal map, right? Like, there's it's a very different, it's not even the same. There's no payload or, you know, capture the point. I mean, this is a bomb defusal game. So they're just different types of games. And so the hate just comes from who wants to say they're the most popular. Like you said, when it comes to weekends like this, who has the most viewers on Twitch? Who's got the bigger sponsors? Whose players are cooler than the other players? Now, CSGO wins there, hands down. Like, not even close.
We're not going to argue that one.
CSGO's got the coolest players in the planet. I don't know why it is, but they really do. Just in terms of tatted up and these,
oh, they all work out.
18-year-old kids that could just whoop my ass tomorrow. So, yeah, I mean, we need them both to succeed for a lot of the same reasons. Sponsorships. Look at the money that's being invested into Overwatch League right now. You're talking not even like millions. You're talking tens and 20, $30 million. To just own a slot in this league. Then you're talking player salaries with a true players union, you know, that's making sure that you're not pulling a denial or some of these horror stories that you see in CSGO that we all wonder, like, how do they still happen? It's because Overwatch and Blizzard are investing so much to make a proper system to where hopefully it's fair to the player and, you know, to the team and beneficial to everybody. And so,
and of course, you're going to get opinions on that one way or the other. Like, some people will say player contracts are bad, right? We see that happen in CSGO. Furious signs a 5-year contract and somehow that is bad. You know, that's the org screwing the player somehow.
The big difference, you know, what I say with people, you know, like versus dislike is the franchising aspect. And I get that. I'm telling CS to franchise. Like, that's not the end goal here, but I think contracts, the way they're done in Overwatch, should be looked at across all of esports because that money is guaranteed. There's a bare minimum. You can't sign a you know, a 16-year-old and pay him $10,000 for the year and make him quit retirement. School, you know, like they're truly trying to look out for the player. Now, the top end salaries are probably very different. I think the top end Overwatch players, from what we hear, are making 150 to maybe 200K yearly. I think in CS, it's, you know, probably a lot more than that, just based on what we see for buyout numbers and things of that sort. But
compare you need Gucci them. Shoes. Which one has more Gucci shoes?
Shoot, they all do. They're all rolling in Gucci shoes right now.
That's my favorite thing going to the event Yeezys. As a new, like, bro, you see that person's shoes over there? They're like $700. And I'm like, well, then why is he walking in them? Like, does he know that?
Yeah, like, I mean, if anything, they should be rooting for each other, because the more success I think we have in the esports ecosystem, the more money is eventually going to flow in. You know, if Overwatch starts having these ginormous prize pools and then we see these huge prize pools in Dota, it almost forces CSGO's hand to maybe raise their prize pools to stay and make it seem like, well, the major is only $1 million. That's an average tournament now for Dota, you know, like,
right.
Those are things that can maybe get, you know, help both parties. But yeah, I mean, I think sponsors alone should be the biggest reason, just because of all the money that's being invested into Overwatch. I think you see these owners coming in, right? You see like the Robert Krafts and all these guys willing to put their money into it, to take a gamble on it. Do you think if they lose a $30 million investment in Overwatch, they're going to turn around and start throwing money into CSGO because they think that's the next big thing?
Yeah, there's like, no, and I agree, like that's my angle on this, because both sides kind of argue that they wish the other side would fail. Like, everyone who hates Overwatch is really hoping that the franchise league and Overwatch League crumbles. And like, now people are saying the same thing about CDL, right? They're all hoping that that fails because it ruined the Call of Duty scene. And okay, I'm not arguing that. You are seeing classics like FaZe and EG and guys that have been around since the beginning, not in Call of Duty. And yeah, that's a crime in itself, but they had a chance to get in the league. You know, they could have been there, but it's just not the same way that we recognize it as. The thing there, though, is what Anuj was just getting to, is like, if these fail, like, we're already the hot topic this week were sponsors who are afraid to get into Counter-Strike because of the terrorist bomb aspect. And that's just in esports in general, right? Like, some esports can be viewed as violent, and so maybe sponsorships don't like that. That's a whole, we'll get into that in a moment, because I think that's hot garbage as well. But like, if these fail, some of these guys aren't going to continue looking at esports as a viable option. They're going to look at it as like, I think people's issue is that they are comparing it like how you would a traditional sport, and say the NFL and NHL and MLB and the NBA, like all those are big enough to be separate entities on their own. Like, one can fail and not affect the other. Negative, yeah. Right? It might actually help positive, right?
People well, like in baseball. Like, baseball is the prime example. Not that baseball's failing. The money deals there are insane. But viewership, right? Like, baseball's viewership can fall, but NFL's viewership can continue to rise year after year after year. There's no correlation in the sense of viewership.
Right.
There.
But esports, I don't think, for how much esports has grown in the last 10, 15 years, I still do not think it is at a level where sponsors view games separately. Now, sure, some might, like G Fuel or like, you know, the esports-centric sponsorships. But I'm talking like the Robert Krafts people, the Coca-Cola, those, you know, those big, big money companies that you want, the ones that you're looking at. They don't look at it as, okay, well, Overwatch didn't work out. But that just means Counter-Strike is going to work out. So let's put $20 million into Counter-Strike, right? If like Coca-Cola wanted to sponsor that way. I think sponsors look at it as all one big pool of esports. And you got to think too, like when we read all these articles, like look at all the articles on mainstream media and all the stuff that people talk about on Fox News and CNN and all them. They're not saying, oh, Counter-Strike is a $15 billion industry, or Counter-Strike is the future, or Overwatch League is the future. No, no, no. They're not saying that. They're saying esports is a $1 billion industry. Esports is the future of entertainment for kids. And that's how this mainstream media, the mainstream sponsorship money, that's how they look at it. So if one fails, whether that be Overwatch League or Counter-Strike or Call of Duty or League of Legends, whatever it may be,
it brings down the total valuation of esports as a whole.
And all of that is lumped into one right now. Like, they are not strong enough to stand on their own just yet.
To me, the money comes in, like, you know, we talk about Coca-Cola. Let's say they throw $15 million at Overwatch League. I don't know what the number is, okay? So that's just a made-up number. But they throw $15 million at the Overwatch League, and they turn around and the sponsorships, or, you know, the sponsorship deal for them ends up being a great investment. That's when they take additional money and they're like, okay, now maybe let's try it in another game. Let's try it in the Call of Duty franchise. Why don't we sponsor that franchise also and become the drink of Call of Duty or whatever, you know? They will throw more money into it, where right now I think if one fails, they'll be scared to put their foot back in. Doesn't matter where it's at. I just think they would be a little hesitant to, you know, jump right back in.
Yeah, and you know, I know, like, the thing now is with CSGO, somehow Slasher's getting credit for it, which I don't really understand how, because the topic has been here for years. We've talked about it on the show before. Anders has talked about it, but it's like, what if we change, like, terrorist and counter-terrorist and Counter-Strike to offense and defense, which, first off, I agree. It just sounds more professional, in my opinion, a little bit more mature. Not that I care that they're called terrorist or counter-terrorist. It doesn't affect me. But I could definitely see where it might affect someone. But that now has morphed into this whole discussion that, well, sponsorships are afraid to get into Counter-Strike because of that terrorist, bombing, violent outlook on it. And I don't know if I really buy into that. I mean, you might have, like, mom and pop sponsorships being afraid of that. But, like, the big dogs that you want sponsoring, I don't think care. I mean, look at games that are being sponsored. I mean, Coca-Cola's with the Overwatch League. Yeah, it's not terrorists and stuff, but it's still, like, people shooting people. You still have the general theme of killing in it. League of Legends just partnered with freaking Louis Vuitton for the Worlds, right? Again, not like terrorists and stuff, but it's still killing involved.
Well, what about like MMA?
Right.
Like, you know, like UFC and all these other violent sports. These,
like,
are
even outside of video games.
These are multi-billion-dollar industries that are real life barbaric. I mean, in the sense, I have nothing against the UFC. I love watching it, but, like, barbaric in the sense that it feels very gladiator-esque, and it's just two guys or girls beating the hell out of each other into a bloody pulp.
Borderline convicts, I mean, fighting right now.
You've literally had people die in the ring in boxing or in some of these other sports. They don't have issues getting sponsors. I mean, these mainstream sponsors, I don't think, are overly worried about the game, like what the content is. Now, I do think the word terrorist doesn't really help, though.
I agree. I don't think it's keeping them away, but I do think, like, if you had to, what's it called, like, in marketing, when you, like, try to test a product on people, you know what I'm talking about? I'm not into marketing. I don't know what it's called, but, like, surveys, right? Like, if you had to sit people down in a room and saying, hey, if this is a sport and we call these guys terrorists versus defenders or attackers, like, which one would poll better in a room? I bet you attackers and defenders would fare better from a marketing standpoint.
Well, offense, defense also helps because it makes it a little bit easier for the general viewer.
Yeah.
So if you say, hey, this team's on defense.
And, like, you get some esports purists or Counter-Strike purists who are out here now saying, like, no, you can't do that. That changes the game. Why bend the knees to mass media? Because it doesn't affect anything in the long run. It will affect Counter-Strike in no way whatsoever if you change counter-terrorists and terrorists.
And this is just changing it, like, on the stream. Like, it could still be called that in the game. If you're playing in matchmaking, or, you know, you're playing in a third-party client, like, it's still gonna be, like, any true player is still gonna call it.
You can still say, like, oh, yeah, the CT side. Well, then someone will be like, oh, what does that stand for? It's, well, counter-terrorist, because, you know.
Yeah, like it'll still be referenced because that's always going to be a part of the game. But for viewership purposes and maybe like just what it says on top of the banner, you know, like if it said offense, defense, it wouldn't hurt anything.
I just think like I think what's happening right now, Anuj, is that you have the majority, which is like Twitter and people who want to make a narrative, listening to the minority. Because there are people out there who are like, you know, they see a game on TV and go on Twitter, you'll see it. You'll see like moms especially saying like, I can't believe people let their kids watch this violent video game. You know, whether that be Overwatch, even like I said, they even say it about Overwatch, which I mean, to us, it's like Overwatch is violent. Like what? But then, you know, think of it from a mom perspective, I guess. Like you will always have people that do that though. Cause there are people who do that with football still saying, I can't believe people let their kids play football. It's so violent. How could anyone let their kids do UFC? It's so violent. I don't think UFC though has discussions about, oh my God, people are saying we're violent. How do we change this? The sponsorships, what are they going to do? Like, no, they just like, that's just kind of their identity. So I don't think it's something that necessarily has to change. You know, it's just think of bigger pictures, right? That's the bottom line. I don't think sponsorships are afraid of esports. It's just they're probably just not ready to buy in.
Again, Counter-Strike's still getting a lot of massive sponsors. It's not like it's hurting.
Right. Well, I mean, let's go off the top of our head. You have Adidas, who sponsors North. I think
Puma is with C9. You know, Audi was with Australis. I mean, I have to kind of go through. I think
like non esportsy brands, right? But you see them all the time. Like I think Mercedes is sponsoring a team.
Yeah,
Samsung is involved with League. Like you have big
State Farm,
sponsors.
Like even you know State Farm and all these guys. I think State Farm is with League
Overwatch
as well,
League. I know that for sure.
Yeah. It's
there. The sponsors are there. Maybe it's not like as massive as we want it to be right now, but like again, just pump the brakes. Think about where we were. My mom called me the other day, just yesterday, and we were talking, and she was like, you know, we were watching that game that you went to in Philly. They were watching the Overwatch League on TV, and they laughed and said, do you remember when we used to take Tim to go play in his tournaments and it was like one row of bleachers? They're like, do you remember going to like hotel lobbies where they would be doing tournaments, or going to the store where there would be a tournament and it'd be like 50 people there, and we thought that was just unbelievably huge, right? Like, so think about that, like 15 years ago to where we are now. And it's like, I guess, you know, it's the cliche, Rome wasn't built in a day. Like it's gonna take time, but I would say we're doing pretty damn well. And for right now, for two of the largest communities in Overwatch and CSGO to try to, you know, kill each other from the inside, you're all trying to sink a ship that everyone's on. Like we are all on this esports ship together. You gotta hope for success on everyone right now. Eventually, hell, you'll be able to let each other die. But
you
right
can
now,
throw Fortnite into the equation. I mean, it's the same thing. Like the communities are so hateful towards one another. And, you know, I get it. They're different communities, but we're all fighting the same battle here. And people don't seem to get that. And you're about to have Call of Duty thrown into the mix. Call of Duty is about to be on a whole nother level.
Don't even bring up the FGC. The FGC was on the same boat. Then they took a life craft to get away from the boat, and then now they're still fighting on that. Then they're still trying to throw people off that life craft. So it's
everybody needs to get ready to scoot over. Halo's not going to be too far away.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, that's esports. That is where it's at right now. No game is bigger than esports, and you need them to succeed to still just kind of pump your own tires a little bit, right? Think of it like a car. If one tire is flat, if one tire has lower air pressure, it messes with the gas mileage for everything.
I feel like we need to like have like a Mr. Rogers segment.
I really do. Like, you know, like I felt like
I love your neighbor a little bit here.
Right. Yeah. Love one another. Like and I don't want to be like the stupid show that wants to be all hippy dippy and be like, don't be mean. Cause obviously it's all fun and stuff. Believe me, I get a kick out of it on Twitter. But what I'm saying is have fun on Twitter, but then at the end of the day, realize like, you want Overwatch League to succeed. You need CSGO to succeed. You don't want anything failing right now in esports because
you don't have to like both games.
You know? I'm not saying you don't have to. You don't have to sit here and watch Overwatch if you don't want to watch it. Don't watch it, right? Like, I don't watch everything. Hell, World started today. Do you know how I know World started today? A listener messaged me asking, "Hey, are you going to talk about League of Legends Worlds?" I'm like, hey, have you listened to the show? Like, what do you think? No. So it's just, you know, moral of the story is, I'll say it again. If one tire has less air in it, the whole car has less mileage and gets, you know, not as far. So just pump up everyone's tires a little bit. Get the best gas mileage you can out of esports. And let's take it where we want it to go.
That analogy was starting to slip there. I think you pulled it back towards
the end. It was wobbly. It was fishtail.
It was wobbly.
I didn't know where I was going. I was like, you know what? I'm going to say something. It's going to sound impactful. And then I was like, right when I started talking, I was like, wait a minute, Tim. You don't know how cars work. But I think I got it. I think I got there.
You know what? In e-news today, I'll give a Worlds update. I'm going to do that for the listener.
Good, because my note in e-news was Worlds started today.
Yeah, I got an update. I'll give an update.
And I even put in there, so there's that.
The Nuj has got y'all covered. Don't worry.
So, but you know what? Sponsor isn't afraid to jump into esports. Thrive Fantasy, your daily fantasy sports app for prop bets. Enter the code TCR during sign up and they will match your first $10 deposit. So that way you end up with $20 to bet if you use the code TCR at sign up. Go download the Thrive Fantasy app. Again, use TCR at sign up. They will give you $10 for your first 10 and always gamble responsibly. Let's get into that e-news though, shall we? Unless mm-hmm. you have anything else to say.
No.
I felt like we really really answered that debate of CSGO versus Overwatch. E-news. Talked a little bit about this for CSGO, but Scream was moved off of the active roster for Gamer Legion.
So he kind of hadn't been on the active roster for the last few tournaments. I think they officially announced it.
Yeah. Like they officially said.
Poor Scream. Dude can't find a home. Kind of happened rather quick. The French scene shoved him aside and then he's
been... Do you think that's like a personal thing?
I don't know.
With the way they moved him around the French scene, do you think he just overstayed his welcome?
You know, the sad part is we met Scream a couple of times and he seems like a really good dude. So I don't, you know, in watching his stream, I've seen his stream a handful of times. He seems like a really good person overall. So I don't know what it is. You know, I know NBK didn't want to play with him, and NBK kind of took control of the Vitality roster at the time, or the G2, and then now the Vitality, and now he's gone himself. But I don't know. Yeah, he's just been kind of moved around a handful of times and just hasn't been able to find a home. So since Team Envy, it's been all over the place for him. Evil Geniuses, you mentioned this earlier in the show. Evil Geniuses purchases Echo Fox's slot in LCS, so these guys are making some moves.
Yeah, and that's kind of all just a sad story in general, though, because Rick Fox is no longer with Echo Fox, or is, I guess, you know, at least that's the plan. I don't know if it's official yet, but, and you know, it sucks. We talked a little bit about it with listeners in our Discord, which you can join on our website, tcr.gg. The Discord link is there, and our Twitter. It sucks, but it's not surprising. Like, I think anyone who was following the Echo Fox drama knew that this was the only way it was going to go. Like, because the racist owner or the racist dude who's a part of the organization, like even Rick Fox said it himself, there is nothing they can do. Unfortunately, it's not really against the law to be racist. So, like in that sense, right? I guess you can be as verbally racist as you want, sadly. But he owns pretty much all the debt for the team. So like if they're like, hey dude, you're out, he's gonna be like, all right, pay me the money, and they're like, oh, we were just kidding, buddy.
And Equifax has lost everything. I mean, they've literally lost. They've lost their Counter-Strike team. They've lost their LCS slot. They've lost the most important.
They're almost a fighting game community only right now.
Like, yeah, and even there, like, I mean, I know they're doing okay there right now.
No,
but
I mean,
you
they have the two best. They got MKLeo and Sonic Fox.
But like, you almost wonder, like, when their contracts run out, is like somebody like Sonic Fox, does he really? Really want to stay on Echo Fox based on his stance on, you know, whether it's towards the LGBT community
or the black community.
He's black,
or,
you know, so it's
anything
like
anything else that Sonic Fox checks off. Like, no, that's probably the worst org for him.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder like how long they're even going to be.
And it sucks because they were a really fun org to like. Like, you rooted for Echo Fox just because. They kind of were built out of what Rick Fox loved about esports and to spend time with his son and stuff. And then it turns into this. It just kind of sucks.
They had that fun CSGO squad too with Sean Gares for a while.
Yeah.
And Freakazoid and all that. I mean, it was like they've had teams that have always been interesting in several esports, and you're watching them literally get Thanos'd one by one here.
Yeah. That sucks. And as we said, Worlds started today.
Worlds did start today, and a little bit of a day one update for you. You had Unicorns of Love taking out one of NA's finest in Clutch Gaming. You had Splice, EU's number 3, taking out Detonation from Japan.
This is their swan song.
Yeah. And then you had, what do we have here? Mammoth then took out Unicorns of Love in game 3. I'm not going to talk about that one because I don't really know either of those teams here. Clutch then took out Mammoth, I think, to eliminate them at that point. And Splice came out a winner over Isurus Gaming. And so your 2-0 teams are Splice and Detonation currently. Everybody else in Group A and Group B are sitting at 1-1. Tomorrow, Group C and D will play their first games. And we will give you maybe an update on that. We'll probably wait like for a full round to go over and maybe give you all some
something
more updates.
Maybe even have a guest on the show to talk more league in a proper way or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Call me when Cloud9 plays. I'll watch them because I'm a fanboy. But in other E news,
like all the play-in games, just so y'all know. So it's like
early on. Yeah. I mean, meh. In other news, Rocket League Championship Series Season 8 starts up this week. That will be aired on TBS. Pittsburgh Knights acquired the Peeps, so shout out Pittsburgh Knights, friend of the show. We had their owner on. He was actually, I think, our first guest ever. Maybe second guest on TCR ever. So James O'Connor, shout out. Congratulations for being a part of the RLCS. This was shocking news I saw. This actually happened before last episode, but whatever. Team Fortress 2 Summit was announced for January of next year, so in a couple of months here. Summit, of course, being the awesome tournament organizer that like does like almost like an it's no longer a house. They screwed it up. I hate their new setup. I hate it, Anuj. I hate it so much. But they needed space, and I understand that. But
TF2 though.
TF2. They're giving some respect to a classic, as Team Fortress 2 will have its own summit.
Kind of wish the developers would do the same, you know? That would be cool.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch. Man, the amount of hours I put into TF2, I might go back to it if Valve cared. But
if they cared, but not now.
No. It'd be a good, like, DreamHack game, I think, like, to download and just have everyone on and reminisce, but I just don't know if the game would hold my attention nowadays, but we'll see. I'm definitely going to watch that, though. It'll be fun to watch an actual pro scene there. And what else do you got?
I got a big one. This is like the biggest announcement of the year. DreamHack and CSGO making a return to India. They will be in Delhi. That will be held from December 6th to December 8th. Again, it'll be a CSGO. It'll feature like a CSGO invitational tournament over there between some national and international teams. So giving India another chance, and I appreciate that. I know I'm actually playing in the event, so they were missing some teams, too many hackers. So calling in the
they went through every CSGO player in India, and all of them were cheaters, and they landed on you.
Well, hey, baby, Gold Nova 4 doesn't come by often, so let's go.
Don't sell yourself short. We used to be LE or something like that when we used to play all the time. But, yeah, that was a different time. That was a different time before newborn babies. Real quick, things that I forgot to follow up on last episode. I totally forgot to mention that, like, I actually met Jeff from the Overwatch team. The nicest dude you will ever meet. I met him at Media Day at the finals, and I was telling Anuj, like, that's why we got the liner from him. I was like, dude, like, I heard he was super nice, but he is ridiculously nice. And sure enough, after the finals, we just happened to see him standing waiting for his ride, and I was like, Anuj, you gotta go say hi. Like, even though Anuj was about to just do the devil's work in his pants on the way home on the subway, even that wasn't stopping him from going to say hi to Jeff. And was he not the nicest guy you ever met?
He really was. Very approachable. Obviously, just congratulated him on an amazing event.
He remembered who I was from like 2 days ago. So that's...
It was cool because when somebody that big and important is willing to give you the time of day, but not because he felt obligated, like he was genuinely just excited to talk about his game and the event that just took place. It was neat, and we really are trying to potentially even get him on the show.
So I said, Jeff, hopefully. Why don't you come on the show? It'd be great. And then he said, I would love to. You got to work with PR, though. And I've danced that dance before, Jeff. I know what that means. That means I'll never talk to you again. But
it was still a pleasure. A pleasure. Hey, you know what, though? We did talk about meeting him at BlizzCon. And so maybe we just even get a few minutes of his time over there. Can't forget Tim's stash.
No.
If you never had an opportunity to sit on it, it's really something special.
I'll never be able to shave this mustache because it's the only reason people recognize me at all. And then if there is any question like, is this just another guy with a white mustache? And then Anuj rounds the corner and they go, his Indian friend.
There it is.
These are the two guys. We know these guys. The dynamic duo. Yeah, the white guy and a mustache and an Indian. What else do you need to be recognized? So, no, he was super nice, though. And that was great. I just wanted to tell you that story, though, because I forgot to last week. Or last episode. I keep saying last week. I forget that we do two episodes a week now. So
that's also a good reminder at this point. Again, new episodes will be coming out every Monday and Thursday. Of course, we stream them live. You can catch those on Sunday night and Wednesday night, usually around 8 o'clock both nights. So tune in.
Schedule is a little bit more fluid with baby. It's kind of based off of when he's not crying, you know, when I have an ounce of energy. Because babies suck the life force out of you. But they're worth it. They're bundles of joy, Anuj. Just bundles of terror and joy. But that will do it for this episode of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR. A.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. If you listened all the way through, appreciate it. If you skipped around, we love you all the same. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter, @TheCenterRing. If you're not doing it, go do it. If your friends aren't doing it, go tell them to do it. It's what all the cool kids are doing. We will be back next week discussing DreamHack Malmo and whatever else is going on in the esports universe. Until then, we'll talk to you in Discord. For Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see ya. And one more time, let's give a shout out to our buddies at Philly Esports. Of course, if you don't know it by now, you haven't been listening, but they are a tournament organizer based out of Philly. They organize pop-up esports style events, which is just esports events. Each event, they provide opportunities for gamers and volunteers to be in a professionally ran tournament for cash prizes and help build their personal competitive brand with professional photography and interviews. As an org, they empower competitive gamers to pursue their dreams in the esports industry. Philly Esports' next event will be on Saturday, October 26th at Drexel University. So if you're in the area and you haven't signed up, you better go do so. Sign up as a volunteer, sign up as a player, go and watch it. Support your grassroots of esports. That's how we all got here. To find out more information about Philly Esports and to sign up for future events, go ahead and visit them, phillyesports.net, and follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Philly Esports.